I'm Anthony Brabazon, and this is the God Talk program for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we will be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective. And during the program, our text number, and during the week, it's 087-979-5454, and we'd love to hear from you. So greetings go out today to Mick O'Brien for his wonderful program on the Sunday morning, and also to Oliver and Morris and to Gay and to Paul Caffrey, who he'll be back next week. Don't worry, he hasn't completely abandoned us. Do you know what? Last week, if you heard the program, and if you didn't, you can get it on the podcast. We had Chris and Susan Rowe, and Chris telling us wonderful stories about his upbringing and China and the movements of the Holy Spirit in Ireland in the past. But we're really honoured to have you back week, Chris and Susan. You know, and I tell you, it's a great expense, of course. Our budget is shot after having you guys in. But anyway, that said, we're going to turn this program on its head, because normally at the end of the program, we have a prayer, which is from Jesus's prayer book, the Book of Psalms. But we're actually going to do that at the beginning of the program. So, Chris, do you want to tell us about which psalm we're going to do?
Yes, I'm going to ask Susan to read Psalm 34. And it's over the, there's a title to this psalm. It's a psalm that David wrote, King David, and he had to pretend to be mad. Now, some of us don't have to pretend to be mad.
Yeah, you're right.
We just are. But David had to pretend to be mad when this this incident. He was trying to escape from Saul. He'd given up just for a short time on his confidence in God. He thought, finally, God won't be able to protect him. And so he's an asylum seeker. Now, we have a lot of asylum seekers in this part of the world, and we welcome them. But here is David, and he's an asylum seeker from his own people to the worst enemies of his people, the Philistines.
All right.
And he starts telling a whole heap of lies to try to get away from Saul. He lands up with a priest, in the priest's village or town, and he says, "I'm on a secret mission. I'm on a secret mission for the king." Didn't say that he was running for his life. Oh. And spins a yarn that costs that high priest his life, because he's accused of collaborating with David. And 88 other priests and their families are massacred by this King Saul, who's just mad.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
So just because he couldn't tell the truth. Mm. And he lands up in the king's court in Gaza, and in Gath. And I like to think that last on the list of a bunch of refugees looking for asylum is David. And the king's had a hard day. And suddenly one of his nobles recognizes David as a giant killer. This is the man that slew our giant.
He's famous, wasn't he?
He's famous, yes.
Yeah.
And they wrote a song about him. It was top of the charts. Top of the charts. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s.
Yeah.
Get him, quick. And David puts on the most brilliant act of madness, scrabbling on the door and spitting all over his beard and so on. And the king turns around at the end of a hard day and, looking straight at his prime minister, he says, "Haven't I got enough madmen round here?" And David escapes with his life, only barely.
So it is a story about deliverance.
Yes, indeed.
And that's the psalm really focuses in on, isn't it? It was written by David at the time.
At the time.
Yeah.
And now I'm asking Susan to ring this, to read this first few verses of the psalm.
Okay. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and delivers them.
Wow, good stuff that, isn't it?
Come, you children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good, and seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut them off and their remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart,
yes,
and saves such as have a contrite spirit.
Yes.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Yes, marvellous words.
Fantastic words, yeah.
And he starts that psalm by saying, Psalm of David, that he wrote after he had had to pretend to be mad. And I want to focus on this emphasis on truth. Because
we need truth as a victim today, isn't
yes.
it? With so much social media, yeah, or as my yeah. wife calls it, social meme media.
Yes, yes.
And it's like truth is a victim because so many lies get bandied about. Nobody quite knows which way is truth. Now, I love this, Chris, that truth is a person. And
yes.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
And he's revealed throughout the Old Testament. It's revealed everywhere in the Word of God. Yeah.
He says, I am truth.
Yeah.
Not just I speak the truth, but I am the truth. But here is David, and he's learned from his experience. But mm-hmm. the worst lie, I want to emphasize this, the worst lie that he could tell was the lie he told to himself.
Right. What was that?
The worst lie that he turns around in 1 Samuel 21 and he says, I can't expect God to deliver me. Because one day Saul, that's the king, is going to get me. It's the best thing I can do is to head for his enemies and head for the Philistines, and then Saul won't be able to catch up with me. Now, that was a lie that he told to himself, and that's the heart of the problem, because we're programmed for failure and disappointment when we start to tell ourselves those kind of lies. So very early on in that story that we just read from the Psalms, he says, if you want to really know what God is saying, he says, talking about the children, he says, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life, loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, in my own experience, the battle with truth, and David had that battle, but when he comes to the place where he can surrender his life and take what God has said, his truth, his word, we talked last time about the sword of the Spirit, and he says, with this sword, he says, you can slay the enemy, but the sword is a sword of truth.
I'll just bring you back to something, Chris, because it says there, I'll come and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, in today's world, when people don't hear this at all about the fear of the Lord, because they think about God, oh, he's loving and it doesn't matter what I do, he love, you know, and the fear of the Lord is spoken about very little. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to elaborate what you understand the fear of the Lord is? It's not a terror, like,
it's a reverential awe. Reverential awe of God that says God is in control. Notice how he starts off that psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Mm-hmm. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He says, oh, magnify. Get out your magnifying glass. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That is dealing, bringing truth to bear on the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, he delivers me from all my fears. He says, they looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed, and he delivered them from all their fears. Now, if you want to know the answer to the fear factor, you've got to learn the fear of the Lord.
That's right. If you don't fear God, you're going to fear a whole lot of other stuff, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, we see that today. There's so much in society, fear of phobias of this, of that, of the other, you know, and many people's lives are completely paralyzed by fears, or partially paralyzed by fear. And yet to have that what did you call it? The reverential
awe
of God. Of God, you know.
All those words about praise and worship, they're building that sense of a big enough view of God.
Yeah, they're big words, but we allow the odd big word on this program,
A big enough view of God to cope with the big problems and the big needs. So, big enough. God's mighty. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's back to our New Testament, where we are more than conquerors. And Paul, in his letter, says, thanks be unto God who always, not occasionally, not once in a while, but always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, sometimes there's biblical truths. We want to seal them in our heart and mind.
Yes.
So, Chris, I've got to move you sideways here. We're sticking in the Old Testament because there's so much life in there. Many people discard it. They throw it away. They think, I just want the Beatitudes. I just want the New Testament, you know. But really, there's the stories that are in the Old Testament. Of course, they're true, but they're also full of meaning.
Yes.
And they've got lessons for today in Northside Dublin. You know, they really do. And there's one story, it's a huge story, but it's about the children of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, they were set free from slavery in a very miraculous way. God set them free, brought them through the Red Sea, closed the Red Sea on their enemies. They were free and they were going over to the Promised Land. It was a short journey, wasn't it? How many days would it take?
It would have taken somebody like your athlete a mere 3 days to cross. Now, for Israel...
But if you bought all the families and the livestock and the whole gang of them, it would have taken them maybe a week or something.
Maybe 2 weeks at the most.
Yeah, 2 weeks at the most.
It was a small desert.
And how many years were they there?
40. Why did it take them 40 years?
Because it didn't...
They couldn't do it in 39.
Oh, wow.
And this is what was God trying to teach them in 40 years, half a lifetime?
How could you spend 40 years in the wilderness? It's like saying, well, I'm going to walk through the Phoenix Park, so I'm going to go in the gate down at Chapelizod and I'm going to come out the Castleknock gate, but it's going to take me 10 years to do it.
Now, this wasn't punishment. I have to say this. This was the younger generation that were having to spend this 40 years in the desert. What was God teaching them? What was so important? And here we have one of the most famous texts in the Bible. It's recorded in the New Testament, but here it is in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 8, for those of you who are Bible students, look it up. He says, for this purpose I led you through that desert, 40 years.
Yeah, I'll have a pause button there for a second, Chris, because in the wilderness, I would think probably the modern equivalent is us in our pilgrim journey in this land, you know, that we're going through, we're with God, but we're going through, and, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there, but, you know, now, why was it that they were in the wilderness so long?
Why was it? Because God had some vital lessons to teach them.
All right.
Desert disciplines, we call them, for living in the Promised Land. And the one that comes across most forcibly to me is that he shut them in to himself in a almost an exclusive relationship. They could not survive any way outside of his direct provision for them.
So they were learning to depend on God alone.
On God alone.
Yeah.
And this was because he wanted to promote them. He wanted to bless them. He wanted to give them houses and lands and wealth beyond all telling. But they had to learn where their source really was.
Yeah,
God was their source.
Because again, thinking of today, you know, if you want food, well, you go down to Lidl or Aldi or Tesco or somewhere and you get your food. If you want money, oh, you go to the hole in the wall and you stick a bit of plastic in it and you get your money. You know, so we've so many comforts nowadays, you know, that we tend not to be dependent on God. I remember the part of the Lord's Prayer which says, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And for years, I just wasn't motivated to pray that at all. But when we had our recession and our crash years ago, and I'm working as an architect in construction, of course, there was a huge fall on work and money and everything. It really looked pretty bad at one point. But you learned then to pray that part of the Lord's Prayer. You know, give us this day our daily bread. So it's a learning process to have just that full dependence.
Just that very, very important text. I didn't give it to you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He says, if it takes you 40 years to learn that, consider it worthwhile, because some of us don't even learn it then.
Right, but come back to this one, Chris. Every word that comes from God, is that the Bible? Is that between my two leather covers? Or is it more than that?
It's the Scriptures, but it's also the Holy Spirit speaking directly to you every day. Back there in Hebrews, talking about Israel in the desert, he says they couldn't hear this word. He says every day this word they had to hear it for that day. Mm-hmm. And he says the hardening of their hearts took place where they couldn't hear that word, and this is the tragedy. God wants to speak every day.
Can you elaborate that, Chris? Now I'm really grilling you today, Chris, putting you on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. But when we say hearing from God, it's something every believer wants to do, is hear from God. Mm-hmm. When people want to serve God, yes, they want to hear His voice. But often they say it's very hard to hear it.
Yeah.
So today, how do you hear the voice of the Lord?
Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. The hardening sets in so quickly. Hardening sets in so easily.
Does that give you a deafness then, if you've got the hard heart?
You can't hear, and you can't hear what He's saying to you because you're so preoccupied with other things that you don't have time to hear. And I emphasize taking time out to hear from God. We spend a lot of time talking to God, at least some of us do. But how about taking time to hear from Him what He has to say?
Yeah.
And that's crucial, because the time factor, He orders our days with that kind of precision that can deal with every area and every experience of life. And it gets really exciting, the precision timing of God for our days. And God wants, it's like an adventure waiting to happen.
Yeah, I think you've touched on something very valuable there, because just take a marriage relationship, for example.
Yep.
You know, if imagine the communication is only one way, only the wife is talking all the time, or only the husband is talking all the time. Well, the relationship will suffer, won't it?
Of course it will.
You know, and so a normal and a healthy marriage is when they're both talking. In fact, me and my wife, when we got married, when we were engaged, actually, there was a prophetic man in town, and he had a prophetic word for us. And it was quite funny, because he said, "I can hear you two talking and talking and talking." And that was about myself and my wife. And we often remind each other of this word with a bit of a laugh, because we find ourselves talking and talking and talking. Mm-hmm. You know, it's both of us talking different ways. And it's the nature of a healthy relationship. So as you were saying, in talking to God, you listen and you talk.
Yep. Yeah. When Jesus had to go through his desert, his wilderness, it was only 40 days for him. But the first of those temptations was turn these stones into bread.
Yeah.
And Jesus turns around. He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every current utterance from the mouth of God." How's that for a modern translation?
That's powerful.
Every current utterance.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about fear earlier, about David, and I think what fear does, it causes you to hide. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden, they hid from
God.
That's
right, where are you, Adam?
And when we hide, it's really, you know, it's like a place where we can lie to ourselves, where we're hiding. You know, they hid in the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And God came looking for them. He didn't want to know them. He did want to know them. And He said to him, "Adam, where are you?" But Adam was hiding from God. Not God from Adam, you know. So I think this idea of fear is the same thing with David when he went before Abimelech. Was it Abimelech?
Yes.
He hid in himself. He hid from the truth, and he did it through deceit. And then we sort of, there's a word in Proverbs, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive."
Exactly,
my mother used to say that all the time. So anyone trying to get out of those situations, the only way out is the truth, really. And Jesus said the truth will set you free. But it's this in the beginning of John, he says, you know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light.
But
you know,
this is the wild thing about the gospel, because a lot of people hide from God because of, they're saying, you know, because of the things they've done wrong and they're ashamed of and everything. And they feel like, "I can never go near God. No, he's only going to smite me and kill me and all the rest. I just don't want to know anything about it." But the reality is, he's not just a holy God, but he's a redemptive God.
Yes.
That he came to redeem. He understands. And at the minute, this is the wild thing, the minute people turn to him in repentance, turn to him truly, he forgives and he receives them. He delights in them. He's like the father of the prodigal son. He was waiting, he was watching, he was hoping, you know, and the minute he came, he ran to him. You know, he didn't say, get lost, you useless, whatever. His heart was for the lost. And I suppose in God talk, we're a little bit like that. You know, our heart is for the lost. You know, there's many who are separated from God. They feel alien to God. They feel like, I can't talk to him. Hey, you don't know what I've done. It's terrible. But, well, he knows what you've done, but he still desires that relationship.
Yep. And that desert. Most of us have to go through desert. But God wants to make a way through that desert in a way that brings you into your promised land. And that promised land is something very, very worth living, waiting for. Now, for Israel, going round in circles, literally, because it's only a small desert, as we said there earlier. You could cross it in 3 days. But here they are, and they discover a set of footprints.
Wow.
In the sand. And they say, hey, where do they come from? There's nobody else in this desert except us. And then they realize it's their own footprints 3 weeks later. And they've been going around in circles.
Yeah.
And so many of us have been going around in circles. We just don't know how to make sense out of life.
Reminds me of beagling. Do you ever do beagling, Chris?
No.
Beagling is like hunting, but without horses. Mm-hmm. You have hounds and they're chasing foxes or something. And you go on your feet and a bit of fun, you know. But somebody gave me a tip once about beagling. He says, if you get tired, just sit down on the hill and wait. They'll always come back. So they go in circles, these dumb hounds, you know, and that's what happens. So for me, it's a picture of the wilderness. They were going in circles.
Yep.
Meeting their own footsteps.
Yep.
Yeah. But man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God.
I'll just give you one little illustration if we've time. Where I'm in the family in a train in Wales. And we're separated because the train is crowded. And this man, I'm sitting beside this man. He's coming up with some traditional stuff, you know, Catholic Church sort of tradition. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, did you ever hear that advertisement for Brennan's bread? Today's bread today.
That's an advertisement for Brennan's.
Right, yeah.
And he turns around. His jaw drops and his eyes nearly pop out. He says, I wrote that ad. I work for Brennan's Bread.
Oh yeah.
And today's bread today. Now, God wants to be able to speak an up to date word into your experience, into your situation.
Yeah, because one of the things in the wilderness, God miraculously gave manna every day.
Yes.
Manna translates as what is it, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So they got what is it every day, and but they were told they can't store it up because it goes moldy.
Yep.
Except miraculously on the day before the Sabbath, they got a double portion, which didn't go moldy. So showing God is miraculous all the way.
Yep.
And look, it's been an absolute pleasure having you, Chris and Susan, again on the program. And you're listening to God Talk on 90.3 Near FM. Our text line, which is open 24/7, is 087-979-5454. And the Twitter handle we have is @NearFMGodTalk. So you can check us out there. And tune in next week, 5 o'clock on Monday. And for those early birds, you can get us on a Thursday morning at 5:30. So hi to all you taxi men and night shift workers and insomniacs also. And if you miss both of them, you can get us on the podcast. Go to the website nearfm.ie. And you'll find God Talk and all the programs are there. So it's been a pleasure, Chris.
Thank you.
Having you and Susan.
Thank you.
And God bless you both.
Bless you all.
Bless you all, listeners. And thank you for listening.